Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus, we thank you again, Lord, especially for this time, Father, that I look forward to in the preaching and the teaching of your word. Father, so anoint me to speak only your words, Lord, and bless and anoint those words that they may prick and touch the hearts of your children, Father, and that your will be done in their lives, I pray, in the name of Jesus. And again, we all said, amen and amen. Now, 2 weeks ago, we were talking about submission with regard to spouses and how we have a tendency to disregard sometimes the value and the importance that role of submission plays in the success or the failure of any marriage. And I think that what we're going to talk about today is how submission, the topic of submission, is interwoven all throughout both the Old and the New Testament. And it goes way beyond the family, but has all to do with the family. Because whenever we're dealing with submission of an individual, whether we're dealing with submission to God as an individual for ourselves or not, we all represent a family of one type or another, whether we're a husband, a wife, a mother, a father, a sister, a brother, or a child. So the value and the benefit of submission needs to be understood in all areas. And I hope to reach that climax today as we close this section out. And the way I want to do it is I want to use several scriptural illustrations and see the relativity of submission in each of these and how they apply to us, generally speaking. And then you take them and personally apply them as the Holy Spirit guides and leads you. The first one I want to go to, and you can follow through these or just sit and listen to them, is in Genesis chapter 16, verse 9. In Genesis 16, verse 9, it says, "And the angel of the Lord said unto her," her being Hagar, "return to thy mistress," being Sarai, or at that time her name was Sarai, she later became Sarah. "But said unto her, unto Hagar, return to thy mistress Sarah, and submit thyself unto her hands." And in this verse, God is commanding Hagar to return to Sarah in order that she may obey her, so that ultimately God's will would be done. Now, God's will in this particular situation was that Hagar would ultimately be excluded from the lineage for the purpose of the messianic prophecy to be fulfilled, and Ishmael and Hagar would go on their own separate ways. But what I found kind of interesting in this particular illustration of submitting, Hagar submitting, Hagar had no idea what was going on. And when it comes to submitting to God, a lot of times we don't really understand why it is we need to submit to God. We don't have the answer. We only seem to have questions. How many of you ever get to that point? We only have questions and no answers, right? And so Hagar had to go with a blind faith. And you know, Hagar didn't get such a bad deal. And when you really study it through, now Ishmael may have been tied to the Muslim religion. And of course, we all have our own opinions on that. But I think what has impressed me the most is that Hagar shows to me a willingness to obey, to submit, unknowingly what the consequences may be. And I believe that has to be a credit to her character, just as it would be to ours, in that God measures our obedience more than our sacrifice. Amen? You know, we can do a lot of things to try and prove to God how much we love him, but the greatest example we can do in proving our love to God is our obedience to God, our trust to God. And that's demonstrated most clearly in our willingness to submit to God. And I think that's an area in all of our lives that we probably fail in on a daily basis. Otherwise, why would we need to reflect so much each week before we have communion? Amen? Another example I want to use is in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 45 says, "Strangers shall submit themselves unto me as soon as they hear, and they'll be obedient unto me." Now, we see David commending God for making his enemies here submit unto him. And I believe that this is a direct result of David's willingness to submit to God. You understand? There are a lot of times we are in our daily lives surrounded by people that we don't particularly care for, we don't particularly like. It's not even our preference to be around them. Yet David received favor. He received a favor because of the promise that submission produces blessings. Submission will always produce blessings. It may not come in the time frame that you want it to come in, but I assure you, if we submit, we will be blessed. But on the other hand, resistance comes with ultimately defeat and most assuredly sorrow. So David learned at a very young age for his particular calling in life that he would benefit by his enemies submitting to him. In other words, he would, because of his submission to God, he placed an air about him. And we'll get into that a little bit now in a couple of other verses that I'm going to share with you on how important it is on what we display to the world and how they perceive us. And a lot of that is based upon our willingness to submit to God. In order for us to present a stage or a platform, a presentation that's going to be appealing to people. Because quite frankly, the world, the unsaved community, doesn't really think much about submitting to God. Doesn't see a real benefit in submitting to God. They see hypocrisy. They see double standards. They see a lot of things that maybe they shouldn't see in our lives. But if we begin to spend our lives submitting more to God, I believe we become more attractive and Christianity becomes more attractive to the unsaved. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 24, "And all the princes and the mighty men and all the sons likewise of King David submitted themselves unto Solomon the king." Now, here is a benefit. And I said that we are assured that whenever we submit, we will always be blessed. But the blessing may not be directly to you, but sometimes indirectly to you. How many of you know anybody that's ever been a child? Yeah, we're all children. And we all have parents. And some of you are parents, and some of you are soon to become parents. And I think that you must realize that we have an awesome responsibility, and that is that what we bring forth in this life will affect our children as they bring forth into their life. In other words, we become their mentors. We become their the greatest influence. And how we influence them, whether we influence them strictly academically or we influence them strictly based on social or whatever the popular trend is, or do we really impress them upon a godly way of living? Will our children see a mother and father that are really desirous to please God? Not that they'll be perfect, but that mom and dad really want to serve God. You see, I believe that when a child is raised in a family where they see a mother and father that want to serve God, God is permanently fixed in that child's life. Can't escape it. Even if they rebel, they can't escape it. It has such an impress upon their lives. And I believe that as we impress our children, our four children, I believe that it has impacted them in such a way that we're leaving behind a legacy into their lives that will benefit their children. And for those of our children that would not choose to obey but rebel, even in their rebelling, God will still shine through in their lives to affect their children. So submitting becomes something of a product or a benefit that goes from generation to generation, just like rebellion goes from generation to generation, like poverty goes from generation to generation. And we have blessings and we have cursings. How we deal with our inherited ways of doing things is all based on choice, just like submitting is. If you're raised in poverty, you can live in poverty just like you were raised in poverty. That's your choice. It's not forced upon you, that's your choice. If you're raised in a home of rebellion, you can live with a rebellious attitude in your home. That's your choice, but you don't have to do that. And if you are raised in a godly family where submission to God is seen as a way of life, a desired way of life, that's something that you would have to choose to do as well. But you don't have to do that either. You can choose to rebel and go a different direction. But the thing about serving God or having God as a choice is God's choice is already permanently made, no matter what your choice is, you see. So the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will follow you, never leave you, and no matter what you're doing right or what you're doing wrong, He's there as a reminder. Hey, you're on the right track. Hey, you're on the wrong track. And He doesn't get tired of reminding us when we're on the wrong track. Amen? Amen. Psalms 18:44 says this, "As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me." And I believe that this is another great verse of promise. I believe that this is where we see David, who has begun to receive respect and support of even the strangers because of his reputation. His reputation was that of a man that was always seeking to please God. He didn't do a good job of it all the time, did he? But we know that David's heart was affectionately set upon God because God said he's a man after God's own heart. And I think that in teaching on submission, let's not become naive and think that we can look at our spouses, our children, or our parents and find reason to say, well, submission, you don't submit to this and you do that and you do this. You know, I think kids get tired of hearing about what they did when they were younger. Parents get tired of hearing about what they did themselves when their kids were younger, right? You know, I mean, it's the bottom line is this. If your heart is set upon serving God and submitting to God's ways, then your children or your parents, if they are trying to do that as well, then credit them. Don't discredit them. Encourage them. Don't discourage them. Amen? Because submission to God leads to blessings. Non-submission to God or rebellion or resistance leads to sorrow and defeat. Who wants that on their shoulders? I don't. I hear from my kids, and I'll be very candid with you sometimes. Oh, come on, Dad, I remember this or I remember that. You know, I do too, and I wish I wouldn't talk about it, you know? But I'm reminded of my humanity. I'm reminded of my shortcomings. I'm reminded of those things that I made poor choices on in life. But then God reminds me, hey, they may still remember and not forget. But I don't remember, and I chose to forget. You see? And that's the same thing with parents towards children. Let's not judge our children for what they've done, but let's encourage them for what they can do. Encourage them to be submitted to God and His ways. Be encouragers of submission because it comes with great blessing and great promise. I think that if you want to leave an epitaph behind when you're promoted to God's glory, there's no better way to do that than to have your children say someday, gee, Mom or Dad, they didn't always do what was right, but I know their heart was always set upon God and they really wanted to do what was pleasing to Him. Amen? Amen. Another one, and now we get a little bit closer to the home base, and that's in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, this verse is often overlooked because it is before the verse that's most commonly used. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. And for some reason, we always gravitate to wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands, but we miss this one verse. Submitting yourselves, everybody say it together, one to another in the fear of God. In the fear of God. You know, I think one of the things that is absent today in the church is our fear of God. Now, I don't mean individually, but I think generally speaking, it's a cancer that's in the church. And that is, the word fear there is reverential fear. Realizing that God is God and there is no other God before Him. And that there's a certain amount of respect and reverential fear that we should have in obeying God, in submitting to God. And that is the key for our individual lives to want to submit one to another. But if we don't have a reverential fear of God, well, then we won't want to submit one to another. I'll share something with you without going into great detail. I got about an hour and a half of sleep last night. I was really bothered and really troubled. And Sister Deanna and I were talking about something, and she saw something her way and I saw something my way. And I took offense to how she saw it, and she was frustrated with how I saw it. And I was just, I was bothered. I went to bed, and when I finally got tired of wrestling, and I got up, and I spent the night trying to resolve this. Why doesn't she take that verse and submit to her husband? I'm preaching on submission this morning, God, and my wife won't submit to me. God said you didn't read the first one before it. I said submit one to another. Have you checked that out first? You see? And so I had to reflect. I had to stop and think. Am I shooting from the hip for my emotions and my feelings and just letting something get in my craw that God doesn't want to? Or should I drop my guard and say, hey, take time to just think about it. There's a way that you think is right, but it could lead to your destruction. But there is a way that I know is right. So why don't you don't just lean on your own understanding? It's funny how God always seems to speak in scriptures to me, you know. And I found a resolve in the early morning hours today. And I found out that I was wrong. I was dead wrong. And there was a solution. And that solution came from God. And the only way it came from God was my willingness to say, Lord, I have to submit to you first in order to be enlightened on how to submit to one another. Do you get that? You see, if I tried to work it out between me and myself and I, or between me and my lovely wife, I wouldn't be sleeping for the next week. But I had to realize that I had to first submit to God and say, hey, God, have I got this wrong? Have I got this wrong? Because if I do, Lord, I need to know. I'm submitting to you, Lord, to your counsel, to your authority, to your direction. Open up my ears and my heart of understanding and direct my pathway, Lord, so I'm not wrong. I don't like being wrong. I love being right. I think I'm right most of the time, but I find that I'm not really most of the time, but a good amount of time. Not as much as I think I am. And it's kind of tough when you finally get to the realization that, oops, again. Submitting to God is not an easy thing, is what I'm trying to say. When we think we're right, we might very well have been impressed that we're right because of what the enemy has said. And he's coerced us and manipulated us to thinking we're right. But if we take time to stop and open up our hearts to God and say, God, this isn't working out as smooth as I thought. This isn't going the way I thought. You may find that the entire thing is upside down and God isn't in a bit of what you're thinking is right, like I did. And then God makes it right in a very beautiful and very precious way. Think about that the next time you get frustrated with your spouse. And remember, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, that means that you must first submit yourself to God in order to be able to successfully submit yourself to your spouse. In Hebrews 13:17, Paul writes, if he was the writer, and says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. You see, that's a choice you have. For they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. Now, I'm your pastor. I'm a parent to my children. No matter how old and wise my son and daughters get, I'm still their father and I'm still their pastor. I still am a spiritual authority over them. You understand? That doesn't change. That's a hard thing for men, especially men, because when little boys grew up to be men, they think that they need to prove to dad that, hey, I've got it now. I don't need your help anymore. And the fact of the matter is, you know what? God ordained that authority, not me, you see. And that's, when you have children, you're going to learn that real quick, that parents have a spiritual authority over their children, and their children have spiritual authority over their children, and so on and so forth, and so on and so forth. And it's an awesome, tremendous responsibility, because we have to do things that are not only fun and right and good, but we have to also do things that are tough and uncomfortable. And sometimes strictly say, hey, you know what? Listen. Listen to what I'm telling you. And if it's God's counsel, as a parent or as a person in authority or as a pastor, you have to use tough love. Do you understand? Tough love is also a part of love. Teaching people to submit is a very difficult thing to do. And sometimes, as you learned 2 weeks ago this Sunday, that message is a very difficult message for me to deliver. And let me tell you something. It's not easy telling people to submit, even when you grapple with the same problem yourself. But as a spiritual authority, I have to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. As a parent has to tell a child, don't put your finger in that socket, it's going to hurt, and be firm about it, because you know the consequences can be devastating. And so, as a parent tells a child of things that they know will bring forth danger, so a pastor has to tell their congregants or his spiritual children things that need to be said as well. Submission is as important as the breath that you breathe. And you don't get it. Some of you are so wrapped up in equality or not willing to change or fighting for a specific identity that you don't have the ability to follow the value of the topic of submission. Submission is as vital as the breath you breathe. God cannot bless an unsubmitted heart. Cannot do it. If a wife does not submit to her husband in the ways of the Lord, she is rebellious and she brings havoc onto her household. Even if she thinks she knows more than her spouse, it doesn't matter. The husband is the head of the home. Get used to it. Don't like it? I don't think Jesus liked getting crucified, but he submitted to his father. I'm tired of hearing what people don't like. And I don't know. It's not. I don't know if I can submit all the way. Well, then you're not submitting in any way. You see, when it comes to serving God, if you're not submitting to God, you're submitting to Satan. He said, now that's a little bit melodramatic, Pastor. No, it's not. Because God doesn't have a middle ground. It's either God's way or the highway. You understand? God frankly doesn't care about your feelings and your toils and your frustrations. God simply says, no, my way. And if you don't do it my way, then you're doing it the enemy's way. You may put on a good front that you're doing it God's way, but I'll tell you this for sure. The Bible says, what you do in secret shall be made known openly, and your sins will find you out. The results will be suffering and sorrow and defeat. Suffering, sorrow, and defeat. But listen to me, there's a contingency here that you must understand. In the things of the Lord, that is what you are obedient to. God never expects, whether you're in the workplace, whether you're in the marriage, in the home, he never expects for you to go against him for anybody else. Do you understand me? He doesn't expect a wife to go against God for her husband's sake. He doesn't expect a husband to go against his wife. Do Do you understand? It's got to be always in the ways of the Lord. That's where your decision is. The rest, you deal with. But when it comes to the things of the Lord, God draws a line in the sand, and it's His way or the highway. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. When I make the statement that we have to submit to those that have authority over us, how many of you agree with that statement? I mean, it's Scripture. I just read it to you. See, it's a no-brainer. So let me see if you lift your hand up. I can't lift my left hand up, but I can lift my right hand up pretty good. So you all agree with that, right? But how many of you will lift your hand up and say, but I'm not submitting to everybody that has authority over me in the ways that I should? And that might even be in the workplace. Might even be in the workplace. Secretly, you may not be submitting. We are okay in submitting, but in certain areas we have that problem. And we're going to talk about it a little bit more. But who is it that we have the biggest problem submitting to? Some may say the spouse, but I say it's always God. It's always God. No matter who you perceive the closest to you that is the obstacle, it's really God. God is the one that we are having trouble submitting to, because God will make a path that is sure and right and just. God promises us that He'll remove obstacles in our pathway, or He'll allow obstacles in our pathway for our good. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If we don't submit to God, we're submitting to the devil. Submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Don't try and manipulate a relationship to get your way in something and think that God can bless it. That's the devil's way of doing things. Submit to God. Ask God. And when it comes to your own personal daily living, if you want to live in a life of victory, then get over your way and get on with His way. Because He said, submit therefore to God, then you can resist the devil, and then he will flee from you. Round one. But then there'll be round two, and you'll have to submit to God again. You'll have to resist the devil again, and then he will flee from you. Round three, you will have to submit to God. You'll have to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And so on and so forth and so on and so forth, because that's life. Get over it. Can you say amen? I hear people say to me, I don't know if I can do this anymore. I don't know if I can submit. I said, it's not an option. Your declaration that you're having trouble submitting, whether it's to your spouse or to God, you are basically making a declaration, as I said 2 weeks ago, that you're firing God. Hey, I'm not going to obey. I don't agree with you. Or I know it's right, but I can't do it. It's just not in me. Hogwash. It's ridiculous. I hope that by now, by this teaching this morning, you begin to understand that every example of being submissive comes with great benefit. Easy? No. But it does come with ultimately great benefit, because without submitting, we cannot expect God's blessings. Only God's cursings. That's why He teaches us in Deuteronomy. There are blessings and cursings. There's no middle ground. The first 13 verses is all good. The rest, don't even want to go there. But people go there. They gravitate to it. Think about submitting. Think about submitting with your own personal lives. Think about how this would be. If a teacher tells you to stop doing something, what do you do? Steve, what do you expect? Stop doing it. Why? Consequences, right? Yeah. If a policeman pulls you over for running a red light, and he goes to give you a citation, do you ever think of saying, well, I don't think I'll accept that today? Huh? No, I don't want that, thank you. No, what do? You accept the citation. Why? Because you have to submit to that authority. He's saying, here's your ticket. If you don't accept that ticket, guess what happens? You go to jail right there on the spot. A squad car comes and gets you and hauls you off to jail. A citation is your privilege not to go to jail. Did you know that? Speeding ticket, parking ticket, any ticket. You refuse a ticket, you go to jail. How many of you knew that? Yeah, you go to jail. Now, you can refuse the charge in court, but if you refuse the citation, you go to jail. And you got to post bond the whole bit. Even on a parking ticket. And there's been a few times when I just wanted to say, forget it, pal, I ain't taking it. I remember I had a disability placard on my dashboard. It wasn't hanging on my little rearview mirror, and this county cop gave me a ticket for not having a disability sticker. I said, and it was a pouring torrential rain. And I said, hey, stop running the ticket. Here's my placard. It wasn't on there. It must have fallen on my dashboard. And he was adamant. He was giving me a ticket. I had to take that ticket. I had to go to the court and prove my innocence, and I was found innocent. But I sure didn't want to take the ticket, but I had to submit. I had to obey. Sometimes we have to submit and obey even when it's uncomfortable. Amen? But if you're right, and if you're just and you rely upon the Lord's leading, it'll all work out. Suppose you're in the military, and your commanding officer or your superior officer comes up to you and tells you to do something, and he tells you, say, jump. What do you say? No way, sir? No, the answer is what? How high? How high? Why? Because there are consequences if you disobey. There's always Admiral Brig, right? Going to the brig. Yeah. When your mom or dad told you to stop doing something, you knew if you didn't obey and you didn't submit, there'd be consequences. Isn't it amazing that as we get older, we reflect back, maybe upon raising our children, and we hear that, you know, oh, Dad and Mom weren't so wrong after all. That'll come when you raise children of your own. Why is it we can accept the role of obedience in other matters of life, but when it comes to being submitted and obedient to God, we find it difficult? Hang in there, Brian. Okay. Why is it we find it difficult? I mean, we can obey in so many different areas. We can submit in so many different areas. But the one area that we seem to be most inconsistent on is our obedience to God. You say, not me, Pastor. It sounds like you've got a personal problem. Okay, I'll take it. God will deal with you later. You ever think about the risks that you run by being disobedient to God? By not submitting to God's way? Look at your bills. You sit there and, you know, maybe you're one of those people at the end of the day and you're counting your little treasure that you think you've built and you worry about that. You worry about that because you read the market and the market dove. You know, or this past week you're happy because the market rose. But you're always worried about your nest egg. You know why you're worried about your nest egg? Because you think it's yours. And as long as you retain ownership on it, you better worry. Because as long as you think it's your money, God can't protect it. You got that? I don't care how hard you think you work for it. You wouldn't have had it without God's blessings. People look at their bills at the end of the month, and their bills are higher than their income is lower than their outgo. And they're not tithing. They're paying all their bills and saying, well, I'll give a little to God at the end. You know what? You deserve to be in debt. If you can't trust God with giving him 10%, how can you expect God to be there for your 90% left over? It's amazing. And the odd thing is, the whole 100% is his in the first place, and you don't realize it. And he asks for 10% back, and he says that's holy unto him. And when you mess with the holy thing, you're messing with real trouble, I can tell you that for sure. Maybe you look and you think about your children, and your children are unruly. And they're not submitting to you. Let me tell you why they're not submitting to you in all probability. They're probably not submitting to you because there was a time of leniency that you created the monster that you're now trying to get to submit. Anybody catch that? So you thought it was cute. You thought it was cute. Oh, isn't that cute? And then all of a sudden, the child starts speaking crass words, maybe to a mother or a father or another adult. And you're embarrassed. You start scolding that child. Don't you do that. You can't expect the child to submit now when you didn't train the child to submit earlier. You've created the problem that you now have to correct. Maybe your marriage is in trouble. And there's enough of those out there nowadays. Listen, you may have the best marriage in the world. Let me tell you something. Marriages, even as long as my wife and I have had, they go on the brakes. Today, Christian, non-Christian, they fall apart. Women in the workplace having affairs with other women. I mean, other women, excuse me. Well, then maybe that too. But other men and men having affairs with other women. It's commonplace nowadays, but it's not right. And marriages are falling apart. And I'll tell you one of the first reasons marriages are falling apart, because of the lack of divine order in the family. No submission. No divine order in the family. I've refused to marry a couple that doesn't understand the teaching of it, yet I still see people that don't obey it. One of the second sickness in a failed marriage, they don't pray together. Failed prayer. If you're not talking to God together, how can you resolve your problems? If you're not talking to God when you're alone, how do you solve your problems? Submitting to God. Submitting to God. Wow. How do we choose to submit to God? We make a decision. And let me share something with you. As soon as you make the decision, the obstacles will come into your play. Be prepared for it. The devil doesn't want you to submit to God. He doesn't want you to submit to your spouse. He doesn't want you to submit one to another. He doesn't like the word submitting. You know why? That's what got him in trouble. He got fired because of that. He got kicked out of heaven because of that. I'm going to be equal to. You think women are the only problem that have equal rights problems? No. The devil, that's who started the whole problem. And then Eve followed suit. Look, I know we all want to be right. We all want to be happy. We all want to be in God's blessings. We all want to have God's favor. Everybody here agree with that? Then why not just resolve to submit? Whether it means submitting to your husband, whether it means submitting to your wife, whether it means submitting to your authority, your pastor, whether it means submitting to your authorities that are over you, even people that are in elected officials that you don't care for, still respect and submit to their authority. As long as it's not against God's will, we are commanded to submit. We're commanded to. Why not do it? The benefits are perpetual. They never stop. There's going to be a benefit for obeying your authorities. It's going to be a benefit for obeying your spouse. It's going to be a benefit for submitting to every area in your life. But think about when you raise up your heel of rebellion. You stop the hand of God that is willing and ready and able to bless you and mend the problems that are in your lives. Direct the areas in your lives that you need direction in. It's got to come from God. Anybody else? I know firsthand, make a mess of things. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray, Lord, that your children today understand the importance the role of submission plays. I pray, Father, that we don't look upon submission casually, but we look upon it as an essential part of our life, our relationship with you, and the success of our relationship with our families. The success of our relationship, even in the workplace, Lord, as people watch us, our enemies who watch us and see us in a submittal role, strangers who watch us and see us in submittal roles. We saw by the scriptures this morning, families that see us in submittal roles. Lord, all of this becomes a standard and an example that you want us to set while we're on a journey in this life. Father, help your children. Help us all to follow this way, we pray in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.